Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on where you are tuning in from, thank you. This is Darcy Butkus, also known as Inspector Bark. I'm a licensed private investigator here in the state of Georgia, where I reside. I'm also licensed in the state of Florida. I own my own detective agency here in Georgia. You can find me on Facebook page, Inspector Bark. My email address is info@inspectorbark.com. Today, I'm sitting in the backyard of my beautiful residence here in North Georgia, and I've got my co-producer to my right, Ricky, and Lucy's heading over there under a nice big bush where it's shaded. But I'm up in the wooded area, and we've got plenty of shade up here. Lucy is getting up there in age. She's about 14 and a half, and sometimes she doesn't want to make her way up into the wooded area. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. And again, we're going to talk about those imposters, and we're going to pull back the curtain on those imposters within the animal welfare community. Today's episode is episode 59. So I always like to send out a massive email. It's all blind copy, and I like to send it out 2 to 3 times prior to our podcast. I like doing Wednesday, middle of the afternoon, middle of the week, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Depending on where you're located, check your local time listing. So today's episode is about power and numbers. Knowledge is power. Come forward, you are not alone. If you suspect a rescue or shelter who's not putting the animal's needs first and foremost, share your story with us. You're not alone. There's other people out there. This episode is an open mic, two-hour discussion on anything and everything. If you have an experience you want to share with our audience, please call into the show at 563-999-3599. If you wish to remain anonymous, we understand due to the repercussions and the retaliation that these rogue rescues are known to do. You are not alone. No block calls are accepted. We're going to talk about a repeat felon that finally got raided on July 13th of this year in Orange County, Florida. It's near Orlando. Several people have sent me this article, so I thank you. I placed a call myself on June 7th of this year for a welfare check on this exact home and address. June 8th, in the early morning hours, I received a call from Senior Animal Control Officer Daniel McCracken. Daniel, either that day or the next day, sent out another animal control officer who did not even ask to go into the house. Looked around, saw the disgusting way the yard was kept and how the dogs were living, but did nothing to save those dogs. Fast forward to July 13th. How many calls were placed before the Orange County Animal Services in Florida finally did their job? Dogs died. Since that June 8th phone call to when they busted her finally, a repeat felon at the age of only 25 or 26 years old, a grandmother who enables this felon, dogs were found dead on the property. An arrest was just made yesterday, July 18th. This is an open investigation. I will not be able to obtain the records until it is over. And I also shared the article in the body of the email that I sent out along with my Inspector Bark Facebook page. How many times have we heard from true animal advocates that they complained for years about animal abuse and neglect? Why do we have this type of person working in the animal welfare community, those that are supposed to protect these animals, and instead turn a blind eye and a deaf ear? How sad for these poor animals. We're going to talk about that case. We're going to talk about other cases. But the first guest that I always enjoy having on, and I'm going to bring him on to the platform, is Mr. Scott Fine, who is with us today. And Scott runs a private group called Joey's Legacy, and Joey is in honor of his dog, a dash hound that now I believe has been gone 6 years due to veterinarian malpractice. He has a private group page on Facebook called Joey's Legacy, Vet Mal, and it's veterinarian malpractice. And Scott, we've got some exciting news that we're going to share with our followers that I'm excited to share, you're excited to share. But let's start off and introduce yourself, Scott, and why you began the mission that you are currently underway with you and your wife. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Darcy. Thank you for the time to bring our mission and our message to the world. Our group is a 501c3 nonprofit organization called Joey's Legacy, named after our dachshund, Joey, who unfortunately was a victim of veterinary negligence. A veterinarian with over 40 years of experience in the profession, for reasons unknown, decided not to perform laboratory tests to determine what was wrong with Joey. He randomly gave an antibiotic called Convenia, which is contraindicated for animals with kidney issues. Unbeknownst, on day one to all of us, Joey was suffering from renal disease, and only the next day when we brought him back did his regular vet, who wasn't, unfortunately wasn't the day before, did do laboratory tests and did diagnose him with renal disease. Unfortunately, Comenia is a drug that has no antagonist. There's no reversal drug. Once it's in, and it's in for up to 65 days. Day three, unfortunately, Joey continued to decline, and we were forced to euthanize him, put him out of his misery. And so we decided that after decades and decades of no problems with veterinarians and having had several dozen dogs and cats, we realized that this is something that happens, albeit not too frequently, and I still maintain that position. We decided to try to find other victims of veterinary negligence. And let me also say, Darcy, at this point that I, and I think the majority of the people in our group, which now numbers over 4,300, do understand that majority of veterinarians in the world are caring, compassionate individuals. They have entered the profession due to a profound love for animals. We applaud them. We celebrate them. At Joey's Legacy, we deal with the small minority of rogue veterinarians who put profit and greed ahead of the welfare of their animals, tend to falsify medical records when they know they've committed negligence, and otherwise do not travel the path of ethics and morality. And we have a team of veterinarians and animal law attorneys around the country that pursue these bad actors and seek justice in court and through out-of-court settlements.
Scott, I was just...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Say what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, just so the... listeners understand, there is always sometimes like a little two-second delay, so we don't mean to speak over one another. I want to tell you, earlier this morning, I spoke to a reputable rescue friend of mine who I know personally runs a very excellent rescue. She works alone, which I always recommend people to do, and we talked about how she was concerned about one particular vet's office she took an animal to. I won't say a dog or a cat. And this is in the state of Florida. And she was concerned because she felt that these veterinarians, and I want you to expand on this, are diagnosing these animals just to make money because apparently they make some sort of a commission, okay? And that's what we're seeing, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, I think we're seeing this with these veterinarian offices that are now gobbling up the smaller mom and pops, and now these smaller mom and pops work for this corporation, and it's all about money. Can you expand on that?
Sure. Right after Joey died, I sought the advice of three independent veterinarians. One of them in Arizona reviewed Joey's records. Actually, they all did. They all came to the same conclusion that Joey died needlessly. One of the vets did the review, and she actually became our first veterinarian and started doing reviews for us. But her story was, she told me that she was working for a large, well-known national chain of veterinary hospitals, and they started to offer bonuses, monthly bonuses, based on the number of procedures, certain procedures that were done. For example, she said they would offer a several thousand dollar bonus if the branch did 20 ultrasounds or 20 dental cleanings or you know, different procedures. So obviously there's a profit motive on the part of the office to you know, willy-nilly do procedures, even if they know they're not necessary or medically necessary. And once she realized what they were doing, she left, and she had been working for them for years, and she went out on her own and started her own private practice. So yes, that goes on, unfortunately. And, you know, I will tell you this, though, Darcy, that, you know, we do 40 or 50 cases a month from people all around the country, actually all around the world, that come to us for you know, reasons that they believe that something went wrong at the veterinarian with their companion animal, and they want a review done and, you know, to see what really went on. I can tell you that nearly 4 out of 5 of those reviews do reveal negligence or malpractice. And the reason the percentage is so high is because I believe owners' instincts when it comes to what's going on with their animals are very keen. I believe they know if something did go wrong or even suspect it. Most of the time they're right, just like they would be right about their human child if they took their human child to the doctor. You know, they know their human child better than anybody. And the same goes with their companion animal. And so that's why most of the letters that come out of Joey's legacy reflect negligence or malpractice in the area of veterinary medicine. But getting back to what you said, yes, that is unfortunately the protocol of a lot of especially the larger national chains.
Mm-hmm. So they're using these innocent animals as almost like guinea pigs, experimental what have you, just so they can meet their quote-unquote quota. This particular individual who I just had this conversation with this morning really had a bad sense. She went with her gut, Scott. She went with her gut and took this animal for a second opinion. And 3 different vets within this one facility each examined this particular animal and found that the other vet's office, nothing existed. Nothing, it didn't have to be done. And I don't want to tell you what the case was, but they literally had to operate on the poor cat, and nothing was found. How dare they do this? It's all about greed. It's all about money. And I believe the root of all greed is the basis of money. It really is. And it's sad because don't do this to these animals. They don't deserve it. And that's why we're seeing such an uptake in what I do and what I, investigate and research, and mainly in the rescue, rogue rescue arena, is we're seeing a lot more bad apples coming on the scene. Because when you take the name of a rescue and you couple it with a 501c3 nonprofit status, the general public falls for it, and they buy into it, which is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and it's sad because they need to learn to do their own homework. And, you know, we're seeing that these transports are going from out of state, from one state to another. I mean, literally from, let's say, Texas all the way up north. These animals are being shoved, stuffed, and crammed into the back of U-Hauls. And they're saying this is wonderful for the animal. It is so stressful. So there was an article that I was reading a while back, and it was titled Pet Transports, Saving Lives or Highway to Hell. But we'll get back into that later in the show. Let's talk about more about Joey's legacy, because last time we spoke, which was on June 14th, so about a month, you had approximately 4,000 members in that group. Now, you've grown over 300 members in just 1 month. What does that tell you?
Yes, correct. The word's getting out. More and more people are finding us. You know, some people just contact us to inquire more about what we do, get more information about our organization, and just simply to say thank you for what you do. We don't know anybody else in the United States that does what you do, and I don't believe there is anyone else, because we've put together a very unique group of veterinarians and animal law attorneys who are, the majority of them are animal owners. They have some actually own reputable shelters. A few of the equine attorneys own farms. They keep horses, and it's kind of like they're animal advocates in their off time after they come home from the office, so they do both, and we applaud them. Those are the ethical, honest ones.
Scott, I'm glad you just mentioned that, because equine being horses, my Inspector Bark Facebook page received a private message from an individual, I won't mention which state, and she wrote to me about a week ago, and I got back to her. I said, I'm really backlogged with cases. I've never done anything regarding horse abuse. And it's funny, because she just wrote back to me again last night, which I saw this morning, and she said, are you going to be able to do the story? And I wrote back to her, now that you mention that you have lawyers / animal advocates in that department, the equine division, we will talk after the show if you don't mind, and I'll give you more details, because I want to help this gal. I mean, I can't go into the horsing, as much as I want to. I'm really a one-woman show. Ricky and Lucy are my co-producers, but they really don't do much but sleep most of the day as they're getting up there in age. So we need to talk, because I want to help anyone that reaches out to myself or to any of these pages that are also doing a great job, and I'll get to those pages in a minute. We need to help these people. And 9 out of 10 times, they will send a private message, which if you send a private message to Inspector Bark, it does state anything in this private message will be confidential. We do not, the informant. We won't do that. The whistleblower, call them that. But if there's a time where we have a wealthy individual or an organization that's willing to fund for legal lawsuits, because let me tell you, these rescues will do everything in their power to silence you. And they will use donation dollars on frivolous lawsuits. Okay, they don't tell their followers that, but that is a means to shut you up. What I tell my whistleblowers that come to me throughout the country is that is a scare tactic. Do not be scared by it. Speak your voice. Be the voice for these animals. So we will talk about that, Scotty, and I'll sink my teeth into that more after reading more about what she sent me. Because one thing, as myself, as a private investigator, I need to look at the facts, I need to see the truth, and I need to see the evidence. I don't go by hearsay. Could this be a personal vendetta? Possibly. So I have to rule all that out.
Let me also tell you, Darcy, it's not just dogs, cats, and horses. We have 10 veterinarians that review for us, and they also are able to opine on cases involving exotics such as guinea pigs, ferrets. We've got one vet that can opine on malpractice, including farm animals. We had one recently involving a pig that was maltreated. We're working on right now a case involving a goat. So pretty much any animal doesn't necessarily only have to be companion animals. Veterinarians obviously go to school for all everything, you know, and we've got 10 vets that pretty much cover everything.
You know, Scott, as you mentioned pig, Julia just signed on. She can hear us. She's in the queue. And we will remind Julia, and I want you to stay on the phone if you can, stay on the call. Mute yourself if you need to, Scotty, because Julia has a great story about a pig. And Julia is going to be jumping on this podcast shortly. She's in Kentucky. She has done some great things along with her team. And, Julie, I know you can hear me. I want you to discuss this pig. Maybe, just maybe, we can network through Joey's Legacy, through Scott Fine. Scott, you have referred people to me. I've referred people to you. And, again, you know, I work nationwide. I do this on my own time and dime. I am licensed in Georgia. I'm licensed in Florida. But people reach out to me because if they are that desperate to have somebody listen to them for the sake of the animal or animals, I am that person, and you are that person. Tell us a little bit about the phone number they can reach you at on behalf of Joey's Legacy, the hours that you are available, and then let's talk about what's happening in your neck of the woods with big announcement. Go ahead, Scotty.
People can contact us at 803-520-7566. That's 803-520-7566. We just began our series of roundtables. We call them Tales of Betrayal, T-A-I-L-S, of Betrayal, involving victims of veterinary negligence and malpractice. We have guests, including our veterinarians, our attorneys, and some of the victims in our group will be on our roundtables describing their experiences with their bad actor veterinarians. And was very honored and happy to have Darcy as our very first guest. That roundtable will be available tomorrow at 10 a.m. And you can find it on our channel on YouTube, Tales of Betrayal. And thank you again for being a guest.
Of course. I was honored, and thank you so much for asking me. And I will be definitely tuning in to your YouTube channels. Are they going to be 30 minutes to an hour? What do you have allocated for time?
Well, we're going to allow 30 minutes plus or minus a few minutes. And if we see that we can't cover the a block of material that we want to, then we'll actually run over if we need to. But we're gonna target 30 minutes just to try to be consistent.
Good. Okay. Well, Scott, I want you to stand by. Is there anything else you'd like to add before I add Julia onto the call?
No, I just want people to understand that this is a real thing, veterinary malpractice and negligence. It's a real thing. And most people that have companion animals will never know the horror of veterinary malpractice. Fortunately, there is a small group of which I'm a member that have experienced it, and a lot of people say it's worse than losing a human family member, and I totally agree. Anything you can do to support us, at a minimum, if you could just spread the word that we exist, if anybody ever needs us, we'll be here to help.
And you're a nonprofit, correct? So tax write-off.
Correct. 501c3.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Stand by. If you need to mute yourself, go ahead and mute yourself on your end, Scotty, but you can hear everything, okay? I'm going to bring Julia Sharp in at this time. Thank you, Scott. And chime in anytime you want, Scott. Julia Sharp is from Kentucky. Good afternoon, and welcome to the show, Julia.
Hi, Darcy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I just want to give you a big virtual hug for all the things that you're doing for the animals, not only in your state of Kentucky, but nationwide. And I know you work with some people behind the scenes. I've never really had the pleasure of meeting them or talking to them. Anytime you want to invite them onto the show, I'd love to hear what they have to say. I want you to, if you would, while it's fresh in our mind and before Scott has to hang up and take some phone calls. I heard his phone ringing. Let's talk about the pig situation, if you don't mind. And let's start off a little bit about yourself and how you became involved in what you're doing.
Start off with that. I want to say what you and Scott do are so important. Just having someone listen to you as a whistleblower is huge. I yelled for 20 years. I'm still yelling about the Trixie Foundation in Kentucky. It is a scam. It is a 501c3 fraud. The IRS has been woefully understaffed and has not done anything about this situation, and it has been allowed to fester for years in backwoods Kentucky, out of sight, out of mind. In 2020, we removed 108 animals, 109 he was charged with because one had to be euthanized immediately upon arrival. To the site, he had been hovering over that dog for days, syringing water down her. You know, she needed to go to the vet and be euthanized, but Skaggs was keeping her alive for his own sick pleasure. So anyway, we got the animals out. Randy Skaggs dragged the case through court for a couple of years. During that time, believe it or not, once he took a diversion agreement, which is basically just a guilty plea deal in Kentucky. I wish they would call it a guilty plea deal and not diversion. But he took the diversion agreement, and during that time period, they allowed him to have animals. One of those animals he took was a pig. Now, keep in mind, my little tiny rescue, the only reason the animals came out was because I stood up and said, we'll fund it. We'll raise the money. We'll take care of these animals. We will pay the vet bills because the county wasn't going to pay for it. They let the situation fester. So my little rescue paid for it, and they let him have animals again. And he gets a pig from a young girl who didn't realize she should have Googled. She will never make that mistake again. And the pig was there for less than 40 hours, and she was mauled by dogs, by his dogs. He tried to lie and say it was the neighbor's dogs, but it was his dogs, dogs he had there that mauled this pig. Instead of getting vet care for this pig, Skaggs stuffed this pig in a kiddie pool and shoved her under his deck, where she became infested with maggots and fly strike. By the time the animal control officer got her out of there, she was covered with thousands of maggots, and I had a 180-pound bloody, maggoty pig in the back of my car, and I drove her to Lexington to a veterinarian. She's got a wonderful home. She made it. Her ear fell off. She has a lot of scars, but she survived, and she's got a wonderful home now. The pig cost my rescue another $3,500. To the current time stamp here, Randy Skaggs has got his hand on another pig, and he also has a bull. The pig is in heat. Any reputable farm sanctuary will spay their pigs. That goes without saying. You spay your pigs. I've talked to a few people that run pig sanctuaries. An intact female pig, especially a large pig, can be very, very dangerous. This pig is in heat. The bull is asserting dominance behavior now because he's got the bull and the pig together, and the bull is standing on the pig's back. I'm sure the pig is likely injured again. I don't know if anything's being done about it. I don't know if the judge executive, Myron Lewis, and I'm calling him out by name, Myron Lewis is the judge executive of Elliott County in backwoods rural Kentucky. On the day of the seizure in May 2020, Myron Lewis put a note in my hand promising to stop this, to get to work on it that very next Monday. To this date, 3 years later, he has done nothing. He has allowed this situation to continue. On his watch, Myron Lewis is a typical lying politician with a lot of promises coming out of his mouth and no action. And that's the truth.
What is his title, a judge executive?
Judge executive. Now, in Kentucky, this confuses a lot of people. They think that because his title is judge executive that he has some kind of legal authority. In Kentucky, a judge executive is akin to your county commissioner. They are a fiscal judge, a county manager. They don't have any legal authority. They do not issue judgments on cases in a court of law or anything like that. He is just the county manager. He is over animal control. He's responsible for animal sheltering, which I understand Elliott County is working on getting a shelter, you know, just 20 years too late, but they're working on it. I'll give them kudos for that. But nonetheless, the Trixie Foundation is continuing. Randy Skaggs has dogs up on the hill where we removed all those animals from. There is no running water. There is no what we would call shelter. There's nothing. There's a couple of plastic igloos. There's a lot of construction debris and dangerous material. There is no enrichment. There is no socialization. Randy goes up there every day and boils hot dogs, a rescuer's nightmare. You know, this is Pancreatitis City. He boils hot dogs and mixes it together with popcorn and crappy dog food, and that's what those dogs are surviving on up on that hill. No one has checked to see if these dogs are intact. No one has checked to see if these dogs are up to date on their vaccinations. You know, these dogs have not been kept on flea and tick prevention. You know, Randy is a scammer, a fraud, a con man. And, you know, there's a lot more I could say, but I'm not going to get crude. You know, I respect the work you do too much to say what I really want to say about Randy. But,
no, I understand.
You know,
how old
part
is Randy
of the problem.
Now? He is
he
a problem.
Is what? Yeah. Well, you know, this is what happens when no kill goes wrong. This is what happens. It creates Randy Skaggs's. It creates Renee Zaharis, another hoarder in Kentucky who was just found guilty and sentenced to 6 months and $500. 279 animals were pulled out of that woman's nightmare. And then we have David Howery, and we've got him in Florida. We've got him in Texas. We've got him in Georgia. We've got them in Tennessee. We have got them all over the country. There are these little hoardervilles that have popped up in the name of no kill. That's
yeah,
what's happened.
You're right.
We are in a crisis. We are in a crisis.
I wanna,
and
we
it's
are,
breaking
we are, and
my
I want to touch on that. I know, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to ask you, when you went and got that pig and that animal control officer, is she still with Elliott County?
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Her name is Ann Lewis. She is the current animal control officer. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I will say there are a lot of people in that community that are very upset with how this has been handled. And I now have people reaching out to me asking me to help with the animal control officer. And it's like, guys, I am an ordinary everyday citizen. You know, I have no legal authority. I have no position in this state.
Yeah. They
you
need
know,
to speak
I'm,
up,
I'm
too.
I'm tired.
Do their.
I'm tired.
Yeah, they need to
yes.
speak up. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Is she related to Myron Lewis? Because you mentioned Myron Lewis, the lying politician that he is. Is she related to him?
Sister-in-law?
You got to be
I believe. I am not 100% sure on that, but I was told by one of the people in the community that she is his sister-in-law.
But she was one that went on the property.
And got the
she went on the
yes.
property of Randy Skaggs. Now, you didn't answer the question unless we were talking over each other because of the two-second delay. How old currently around about is Randy Skaggs?
I want to say that he's about 72.
Okay. And when you went and got that pig, what was the distance from his place, the gates of hell, to the distance to Lexington where you took the pig to the vet?
I met her in Grayson, Kentucky, which is about 30 to 40 minutes from Randy's. And from Grayson, Kentucky to Lexington, it's normally probably about an hour and 45 minutes. I made it in under an hour and a half because I just wanted to get her there. You know, I was driving too fast, I'll admit it. Plus the vet had been waiting on me for hours. That was another issue. It took her hours to get that pig. She called me and said, I'm going to get the pig. So I went to go meet her to get the pig, and it was hours. So, you know, I have a vet waiting on me all this time. So I flew to get
the
pig
there. Well, what was her delay?
Randy.
Was he fighting with her?
Randy.
Yeah.
I guess so. He was argumentative. It's not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. And yes, he did. He took an animal that he did not have the proper facility to maintain her safety. He caused the harm to her, and then he tried to cover it up. I don't know what he thought, putting her in a kiddie pool. Remember, there was a dog that was stuffed in a kiddie pool at the seizure. You know, Randy Skaggs seems to think a kiddie pool filled with nasty, dirty straw is the same thing as vet care.
You know
that's
really
compassion to him.
It bothers me to no end when we have these sickos pretending that they're God and they're going to treat these animals, and they stand there holding the dying animal. Another perfect example would fit right along with this scumbag. Randy Skaggs is another scumbag down in Miami, Hialeah, Florida. Her name is Jocelyn Bear. She's always begging for money. She puts these animals out there instead of rushing into the vet, asking for donations. And there was one cat named Chico, I think, or Cheeto, and it was an orange tabby cat. She let that cat suffer so she could solicit more pledges and donations. And a woman came on there and said, and it was a Saturday, so it's not like, you know, these vet places are closed. There's a vet office probably every 10 blocks in Hialeah. It's a very congested area right in Miami. And this woman either pledged $200 or $300 and said, get that cat to a vet now. I will cover the expense. She didn't want to hear that. She wanted more money. These people are sick, and there is a special place in hell for them, okay? They're deranged.
They are.
They're delusional. They are. And let me tell you, we've got to help you, Julia, and anybody's listening, and Scott, you might want to chime in, that Kentucky, anybody that you have in your network, please, you know, let's talk to these people. We need to raise the noise level and hold the locals responsible.
We do. We do. You know, it's completely out of hand. You know, and every one of these hoarders that's being busted, someone knew what was going on behind those closed doors before it got to the point it was at. Someone could have spoken up. You know, we don't have to wait until 70 dogs are dead. You know, when you know conditions are bad, start making noise. You know, don't take no for an answer. Everybody's got a boss. Keep going up the line. You know,
yes,
find someone to listen to you.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately for me, I got to the end of the line, and they're like, well, you know. I don't know why Randy Skaggs still has a 501c3. You know, I know the IRS is understaffed. I know the issues around, you know, getting things. But this has been reported for years. Years. And I know they audited him.
We're going to talk again more off, you know, the airwaves, because I think there are a couple things that I'm going to write, and I'm making notes. Scott, if you can unmute yourself, is there anything you want to add? Because I do want to talk about another story that is currently active in Orange County. Scott, is there anything you want to add regarding the pig, and if there's any names that you can assist us with?
I mean, I'm sitting and listening in horror, and I know there's plenty of scammers out there, and I've heard those names before, especially Randy's name, and people have to get involved. It's kind of like what they say, if you see something, say something. It applies to the space we operate in also. People, you know, it's easy just to not say anything, turn away, look the other way, but, you know, lots of animals are in jeopardy and in peril because of a lot of it is because of the apathy of so many people. So, you know, I applaud the work you do, Julia, and we're behind you 100%.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I do. The see something, say something, it's important, but unfortunately so many times when we do say something, we're not heard. So that's why it's important what you guys do. You listen. You listen.
Yes.
And that
yes.
matters.
It does matter. And I have, through the years, become even a better listener. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know how to listen, and they don't know how to read, or they're just lazy because, you know, you'll see somebody write, oh, when's a date or what time is a podcast? It's all right there. Take the time and read it. So that's sometimes frustrating on my end. And I know Scott and I talk a lot, sometimes several times a week. Sometimes it could be several times a month. But, you know, we have to stick together. And more people are joining the fight. A lot of people don't even know how to go about filing a complaint. So we have to teach them that aspect as well. So I admire what you do, Julia. Scott, is there anything else? If you need some phone calls, buddy, and need to hang up, if not, just stay on and just mute yourself and jump in anytime you want. It's up to you.
Well, the only thing I can add in the space I work in, and we've noticed this in Pennsylvania and in Florida, on a positive note, we've noticed that when our members submit their complaints to the vet boards, they also include our veterinarians' opinion letters. And we're finding, in, like I said, Pennsylvania and Florida so far, that the investigators for those vet boards are contacting the owners and interviewing our vets and actually want to use our vet letters in the investigation and prosecution of the bad actors in those cases, which I find very gratifying because, you know, typically vet boards have a bad reputation. They've had a bad reputation for many years because they tend to coddle and protect the bad actors and not really impose firm and fair discipline. But I think we're starting to see a change, especially, like I said, Pennsylvania has already been two cases where that's happened and one case recently in Florida. So I've got my fingers crossed for more and more involvement and engagement with Joey's Legacy's vets and the vet boards. So the other side of that is the majority of all members of vet boards are veterinarians themselves, so I'm not sure why they're so enthralled with our vets when they can review and come to the same conclusions. But, you know, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
Great. Great. So, Scott, if you need to go, great. Understood. But good luck on your YouTube channel, Tales of Betrayal. You can subscribe, folks. I did the other day. Please do so. T-A-I-L-S. I have that correct. Correct, Scott?
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And if you want to stay on, be you know, by all means. So I need to jump to the next case, and I sent this in the body of my email regarding Orange County, okay? Orange County, Florida. It is outside of Orlando. Two or three whistleblowers came to me, and they talked about this young girl who was taking in dogs, scamming the general public, a repeat offender, multiple arrests. Animal Control, Animal Services, Orange County, went out on May 24th, and I'm going by memory, and they saw that the dogs were living not in the best conditions, even a dog tied up to a trailer on this dump of a property apparently owned by the grandmother with this 25-year-old named Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, middle name Lane, last name Rivard, R-I-V-A-R-D. She has been known over the course of years to go into surrounding animal shelters and relinquish a dog and saying that she found the dog. And, of course, one astute animal control officer realized she was full of it, and they pursued it. They pursued it. And there was a court case just maybe not even a couple of years ago. Well, these people are repeat offenders, okay? They can't help themselves. They're sick. They're delusional. They don't even have a moral compass. It's not even upside down. It doesn't exist. And they're basically using these animals to exploit the general public. They're emotionally detached. They're completely removed and totally desensitized. And this little 25-year-old would probably, hopefully, spend several months in jail, just got arrested yesterday. What bothers me is I called a welfare check with the Orange County Police Department the evening of June 7th. They said that they would refer it to their animal control animals, Orange County Animal Services. The next morning at approximately 7:15, my phone rang, and it was this so-called senior ACO, animal control officer, Daniel McCracken. And he told me they had been out there May 24th. I said, well, I've gotten numerous concerns. I want you to go out there. And they sent out, he sent out another animal control officer. They never asked to go inside the house. Now, meanwhile, if you look at, and it's on my Inspector Bark page, you look at the news report, I mean, this place was a dump. And they interviewed the neighbor, an older woman that lived behind this home. And she said she would hear barking all hours of the night. Where the hell are the local officials that are supposed to do their job? There must be some type of noise ordinance. I am so sick and tired of lazy people. And when I called the Orange County Animal Services and spoke to a rude woman, and I asked to speak to the director, who was apparently in a meeting, supposedly, and she said, you can call tomorrow. We open after 10, or could have been after 11. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll do that. Can I have the name of the director, please? Oh, no. Well, I can't give you that name. I said, what? And I knew it's public information. I mean, who's she kidding? I mean, this is a rude type of clientele that they have working among animals. They have no people skills. And that was a red flag. Julia, that was a red flag to me right then and there. And sure enough,
yeah.
Fast forward from over a month later, they went back there, and finally, I think it was the police department, not so much the animal services of Orange County. And I am a big believer, and a few other people that speak their mind, heads better roll. Heads better roll. And what I mean by that is to see them fired.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Somebody has to be responsible for this. I mean, this is unconscionable what happened here. But, you know, it goes back to what I always say, it's money. County entities don't want to put the money out on animals. They view animal control as a true cost that doesn't have a big return. And mm-hmm. they don't want to put the money out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, okay.
They turn a blind eye.
30 dogs. It's like we can ignore 30 dogs. You know, we don't have to pay attention to that. That's expensive.
They turn a blind eye.
Unfortunate.
And a deaf ear. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that are supposed to be protecting these animals. Shame on them. Shame on them.
And I really do.
I really think. Yes, yes, yes.
They're
so basically,
to protect the community as well.
Mm-hmm. I posted her mugshot, Kayla Lane Rivard, and here's the other thing. She posted on her private page, goes by a couple different names, maybe about a month ago when this one whistleblower came to me, and she went to other platforms as well. Kudos to her. I won't give the name. And they try to discredit her. Okay, which is normal. They want to discredit, derail, take the pressure, take the attention off of them. And this girl, this Kayla Lane Rivard, the dirtbag that she is, goes on and says, thing is fine, animal control has come, everything's fine. You know, these people, all you have to do is go into court records and see the complaints. And how she lied, and a dog got out, a dangerous dog, and bit the neighbor as the neighbor was taking the trash out. And then she sees that Inspector Bark shares the story back around June 8th, thereabouts, more than one. And I just did an update. And so they try to discredit me. And as I often say, Julia, scum attracts scum, liars stick with liars. So the people that are trying to defend this thug of a human being are drug addicts. So they're selling these animals to get a fix. Where are their scruples? Yeah. Where's their integrity? How the hell do you do this to an animal?
It's just so bothersome, and it's time for legitimate rescue to evolve again. I mean, we're really going to have to focus more on prevention. We're going to really have to start spaying and neutering, and unfortunately, that's going to take a lot of money. And we all know that there are people out there that can afford to spay and neuter their dogs, and they're just not going to do it. They're not going to put the money out. Well, you know, we're going to have to find a way to do it for them. What's not born can't be abused. What's not born can't wind up in hoarder nightmares. We are drowning in animals out there. And the whole no-kill movement has failed. It has failed. Horribly failed. I feel like if they had tried to create spay-neuter nation instead of the no-kill nation, we would be a lot better off right now. But instead, they just save them at any cost. Save every dog. And I'm here to tell you, as someone who has literally devoted their life to dogs, that there are dogs out there that shouldn't be saved. They should be euthanized. They should be given peace, because an aggressive dog, a highly aggressive, dangerous dog, is not a happy dog. They are suffering emotionally. This is not a happy animal. And it's our job to prevent suffering. You know, and I'm not screaming, go out there and kill every dog. But when you're facing this, you've got the cute little sweet mutt here who never hurt a fly. But you've got this purebred dog that's lunging at its cage. You know, go ahead and euthanize this dog. Don't force this dog to live this life in a cage, only to be adopted out into the public, to go on and maul somebody. This is not rescue. You know, that's dangerous. That's flipping dogs.
We are seeing an uptake of dangerous dog bites because shelters such as the one down in Florida, Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale, not Brevard, Broward County, that useless director by the name of Emily Wood, she's being sued, multiple lawsuits against her, and she's only been there, I think, 2 years. She came from California.
Wow.
She has no boots on the ground experience. She is, I guess, the inept politicians for Broward County, they choose to turn a deaf ear and a blind eye. Numerous emails are being sent to them on a daily, weekly basis. They don't get it. They don't care. They bring in this woman who has no experience. An associate director comes in, and this was back in November of 21, I want to say. She came from Tennessee, great curriculum vitae, a resume. Her name was Lauren Bluestone. I personally met with her in February of 2022 when I went down to Florida, took her to lunch. I wanted to know what her goals were for the Broward County Animal Shelter. I own a home in Hollywood, Florida, and we pay taxes, and they have a big, expensive shelter. I didn't know at the time that Lauren Bluestone was already being bullied and harassed by Emily Wood, because Emily Wood considered Lauren Bluestone a threat. And she did everything in her power, almost shackled her to the desk where she couldn't go out in the field, because Emily Wood is helping animals. She's closing intake. And we have proof from an animal control officer. Karen is her first name. Forgive me, I don't remember her last name. My old stomping grounds, Davie, Florida, where two police officers from Davie saw a dog in a canal drowning. They went down the embankment, saved the dog, contacted Karen, Davie's own animal control officer. They then called Emily Wood, the director of the shelter for Broward County, which all these municipalities pay in. And she said, oh, just leave the dog there. Just leave the dog there. And we're seeing that in Texas, and we're seeing that in other parts of the country, okay? And what I believe, and we've got a call coming in right now, and I'm going to let them know. I see their phone number. I don't know who it is, but just bear with me. And we're seeing this happen. And I believe it all has to do to this best friend's no-kill mentality. Because keep in mind, their slogan is save them all by 2025. That's only a year and a half away. And we see what I see, in my opinion, they are slowly infiltrating into these shelters as rescues, and they're closing the doors because guess what? If you close the doors, no intake equals no euthanization. And that's why we're seeing these shelter directors like Emily Wood. She's buddy-buddy with cat hoarders in Broward County. She's buddy-buddy with dog hoarders. So she wants them out of her shelter because they're walking out
and
alive.
Cat hoarders are especially disturbing. I mean, cat hoarders are really just out there. You know, I mean, they can have so many cats in such a small space. It's horrific. It's horrific. And anyone feeding that ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they stick with one another. And I'm watching something unfold right now in South Florida. And I'm laughing because the ones that are listed, half of them are hypocrites. The other half are closet cat hoarders. But they all stick together. And then the minute somebody does blow the whistle, like we had a situation over a year ago in Broward County with a Nicole Dupuis who had over 100 cats living in her single wide trailer. Yeah, the deputies, Broward County Sheriff deputies were coming out gagging and throwing up, okay? And the whistleblower got bullied, and how dare you? So scum attracts scum and liars stick with liars. And I love it because if they want to try and discredit me, that tells me I'm doing a good job. Let's bring in area code 727. Stand by. There's going to be a little bit of a delay. Stand by. Okay, area code 727. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Inspector Bark and Julia Sharp.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
We're very well. Thank you so much.
So in regard to Kyla, Lane, Kristan, Rivard, whatever name you want to use, I've actually, I want to remain anonymous, but I've been following her for about 3 years. And I am in the rescue community, not in that area, but in Florida. And she threw up a lot of red flags for me. And I watched. And, you know, I did a public records request just recently, and there's a lot of information on there. She definitely was a repeat offender. Animal control had gone out there multiple times, gave her chance after chance. You know, the dogs were not housed properly, so she went out and bought crates, or not crates, but enclosures from Tractor Supply. The dogs, you know, didn't have proper bedding, didn't have proper houses, so she built them. And they just kept giving her chance after chance. She was not a licensed rescue. She was not a 501c3. She did not have her Department of Ag license to solicit donations, though she was all over Facebook asking for money constantly. She had, at one point, a couple years ago, there was a homeless man that had a dog, and he was looking for help to get a hotel room. He had a job. He just didn't have a home. And she collected several thousands of dollars and never gave him a penny. She was such a fraud from the beginning. So I started doing research into Orange County to see how I can close this girl down because she just infuriated me. Being in rescue and knowing what it takes and how hard it is, you know, and seeing her, I had seen a post probably about a year and a half ago, of a girl that was trying to get her dog back from a friend that was watching it. And the dog had gotten pregnant. And the woman wanted the dog and her puppies. You know, she wanted them back. Well, I asked, where did you get this dog? Kyla. So now I know that she is out there putting unspayed, unneutered animals out there and just adding to the problem. So that really, you know.
It is adding.
It was disgusting. So I can send you pictures of what this dog looked like. She was completely emaciated. The girl that had her was saying, I'm going to starve your dog to death and sell the puppies type of thing. And it just, it infuriated me that she's putting these dogs in this situation. So I started doing research. Something that is extremely sad and needs to be changed is Orange County has no limit on how many animals you can have. So they
most places in the country don't. Yeah, that's
you know,
an
the
issue
county
all
that I live
United
in Florida
States.
Is 9. There's a county above me is 11. So they're out there and they're in Florida, and there are counties that are limiting it. But
right, there are places that do. Oh, there was nothing. Yes, there are places that do limit, but the majority of the United States still has no limits on how many animals a person can have, and it's really a lot of these hoarders will research that. And they will
yeah.
find
but Julia, that's
in
the
area.
Country, though. Julia, that's in the rural area. Municipalities, cities should have
right.
Three. To,
yes,
yeah, so make sure you, yeah.
County is not like
yes.
a backwoods, you know, no population. It is a huge county. It's got Disney World. It's got Orlando. Like, this is, should be a little bit more sophisticated. And
right, well, Louisville, Kentucky is very sophisticated in their ordinances, you know, but we're talking about the city. Same thing in Lexington. But the vast majority of Kentucky, it's a free-for-all.
But caller, just so you know, maybe Kayla that lives with her grandmother is outside the city limits. That's what we need to look
well,
at.
She is outside the city limits, but she's still under the county ordinances. And it's the county that's, you know, going out there. It's Orange County, which encompasses Orlando, and it encompasses, you know, a lot more, you know, developed areas. So it's just it's such
but
a
it's unincorporated. Where she lives, is it unincorporated? That's my question.
It is. But there's no city to govern it. It's governed by the county, which doesn't have any rules. So then going
yeah.
through, I don't know if you know this, but she has an accomplice. And if you do
yes.
a public records request on just her, you're just going to get her. Do it on her address because there's more there. There's a Heather Drath. And I think what finally prompted Orange County to do something was on 5/23 at 1540 hours, I'll read this to you, OCSO, so Sheriff's Office, is on site with the Fugitive Task Force at incident location making an arrest of the dog owner, and they stated there are multiple kennels with dogs chained up and the yard is full of dogs. OCSO, Sheriff's Office, advised there are other people in the house, so no need to confiscate unless OCAS deems their conditions are inappropriate. They suspect the owner is operating a puppy mill. And I think this finally prompted some action that the sheriff's office
but that
went
was,
out there
wait,
to arrest
wait, when was
up.
The date? What that was when? When was the date?
5/23/23, so May 23rd of this year. But before that, they just gave her chance after chance after chance. They have been out there, I think, just between the end of last year and this year, at least five times.
Okay,
you know,
so let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there so we don't talk over one another. You heard
mm-hmm.
where I called in an animal welfare check, and people need to be doing that. They need to open up their mouths, okay? I'm here in North Georgia, and once I gathered all the pile of evidence, I was not going to sit back. I made a call
yeah.
to the Orange County Police Department, okay? But I was being jerked around from Lake County to Orange County because when I gave the address, one would say, no, that's not our jurisdiction. The other would say, no, it's, I mean, it was like, come on, you know. So finally, I get
I
the answer I need.
I just think to take responsibility because they dropped the ball on this.
You're absolutely right. So I was persistent, and that's what the key is. You need to be persistent. You need to, if they give you a lame excuse, you know, you go over their head, as Julia mentioned earlier. So on that following morning, caller, on June 8th, I did get a call. Said to me, Senior Animal Control Officer Daniel McCracken. I got his phone number. I text him information. He was going to send out another animal control officer, which they did. I have him on recording. I have text messages. And I just sent out a blanket email to the commissioners of Orange County because heads need to roll, and including the director of animal services, who's also covering it up. These people need to get the hell out of animal welfare because they are not looking after the animals' welfare. So when we raise
a lot of those people in these shelters, it's just a job for them. It's they don't have the passion to help these animals. And I was listening before. Yes, there are definitely animals that, you know, behavioral euthanasia, it should be a thing. And
absolutely. I have done this work for over 25 years, and I've been in that position a few times. And it's not pleasant. It's not something anybody wants to do. You don't want to make that call. But,
no.
You know, we don't only have a responsibility to animals. We have a responsibility to the community and the public we serve.
Yes. We have a greater responsibility to the community. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times that is not at the forefront. It's just save the animal. And there are those people and those rescues out there that are just all about saving every dog, no matter what the behavior is.
Right.
Oh, we're seeing a lot of that, caller. We're seeing a lot of that, and that's causing more harm. These people, I swear to you, I feel like they're cult followers of the Best Friend Society in Utah. This, I don't understand how people are not catching on to this. It's ridiculous. I mean, look what we've got here. Let me just mention this, because this is what we have to talk about. And Julia, this is
a dog bite. She had two incidents. One dog got loose and bit her neighbor, attacked her neighbor, and then she had another foster, and we'll say that very loosely because she's not really a rescue, so who's fostering, had a dog that had behavioral issues. And she actually, I believe, returned it to a different county that it came from. And if you look into it, she was fined $1,000. She returned the dog under an alias of her grandmother's name.
You're absolutely right, and I covered that earlier. You may not have been on the call yet,
It's
okay. It's okay. I found all that because all you have to do is do, you know, the county, the court docket. You know, sometimes you have to pay for it. Most of the time, it's free. And you're absolutely right. The neighbor was taking out the garbage. The dog bit, and then she went into a different county. This girl needs to be not in jail. She needs to be under the jail. Okay? She really needs to be. She's
yes,
a horrible human
absolutely.
Being. And bad,
like I said,
bad,
I followed
bad.
Her. I was actually Facebook friends with her just to follow what she was doing because I was trying to figure out a way. And I'm looking at all of these animal control complaints and nothing's being done. You know, and then it's like no limit to how many dogs you can have. And I'm just like, how? Finally, I guess you got involved and did it. Thank you. And then she had people living in trailers. It looked like she had a homeless camp in her yard. She had people living in tents, no water.
Yes.
So then we had found just recently where, you know, I was trying to dig and see how I can get her on their radar was you can have an RV on your property in Orange County. You can't have somebody living there. And she had two different RVs on her property that people were living in. So, you know, it's like, okay, what else? That would be code enforcement. But just, I'm thankful. What's a little sad right now is I still haven't seen charges for her. So she was arrested. It was not related to the dogs. I'm hoping that it's just they haven't charged her because of the investigation. Isn't closed
well,
yet?
Well, a lot of times that's what it is. A lot of times they have to complete their investigation before they charge them. When we took the animals out of the Trixie Foundation, the officers went in on a warrant for improper disposal of dead animals, and they removed 12 animals from the freezer. I want to say it took almost 3 weeks before he was charged with cruelty to animals. They had to go through vet records, and they had a lot to do.
Well, I'm really
actually
kind of hoping with I can't remember his last name, but Bob with Out of the Box Rescue that was in Citrus County just over, I think it was about 2 years ago. It was a very similar situation of cruelty and neglect. He had been cited several times. They had come out to do another inspection. He had not complied. They then arrested him. He had been sentenced to 4 years, and I'm really hoping that something like that comes out of this and she learns her lesson and they take her off the streets and, you know, he is, from what I remember, he is forbidden to ever own an animal again.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, it also depends on the district attorney's office. Okay, they have to also be tough prosecutors. The cops have to do their job. They have to get all the evidence. There's going to be multiple pictures. But I'll tell you something, Orange County Animal Control Services dropped the ball. And I'll say it over and over and over again. They dropped the ball, and I'd like to see them be fired. And if anybody is offended by the word fired,
just listen to this podcast. Just looking at the public records, not only did they give her extra time to correct everything, but they told her when they're coming back.
They often do.
Of course she's going to be ready for it.
That's common. Why do you think they do that? That's very common. Because then they come back, they give them enough time, and they clean everything up. Yeah, they don't want to take these animals. They don't have room. I've got a case here in Georgia. And the Department of Ag, the useless Department of Ag, Companion Animal Equine Division, with a new administration as of the first of the year, he's following in the footsteps of the director of the old director. They learn from each other. They do nothing. And I've warned them over 3.5 years. You have now over 150 dogs living on a property in South Georgia near Savannah. What does it take?
Wow.
They don't want to deal with it. Just like in 2019, the first quarter wasn't even over yet of 2019, and we had over 1,250 dogs extracted and seized from three licensed breeders in four counties. All right?
Wow.
Guess what?
That is...
A rescue out of New York had to come down and get the German Shepherds, and that's the Angela Belinda case, where she took 147 German Shepherds, moved them 20 miles away into a different county, hid them in the woods in cow pens. Neighbors, quiet little town called Metter, Georgia, all of a sudden they're hearing dogs howling and screaming and every hour of the day. They go and explore. They start seeing each other in the grocery store and go, hey, you hear all those dogs all of a sudden? They jump in a golf cart. They go into the woods. They look. What do they see? They see dogs eating each other to stay alive. And then we have Angela Belinda Powell from 20 miles away, who her inspector from the Department of Ag said, you need to thin out your inventory. We believe some were killed. They were no use to her. These German Shepherds, I saw it with my own eyes on January 6th of 2019. I went down there, drove the 4-plus hours with three other people in the car. I saw it. They were living in cow pens, and it was awful to witness. They were living with igloos as shelter. And thank God, a local in Montgomery County, Georgia, near Vidalia, the Vidalia Onions, he had a call, a rescue up in New York to come to Georgia. And then we had the Atlanta Humane Society go into Metter, Georgia, and treat it as a crime scene. They did a far better job than this so-called rescue because they had some lame girl, didn't know what the hell she was doing. You have to document each piece of evidence, which is each dog. You take numerous pictures. You tag them, and that wasn't done on Montgomery County. Now, we're in 2023 in July, and that Angela Belinda Powell, after motion to vacate, motion to dismiss, continuance is finally probably going to get a plea deal here in the next 3 months or so. It's ridiculous. And I remember when she went on the property in Metter, Georgia, she's walking with the deputy of Sheriff John Miles. You want to see a great sheriff? Sheriff John Miles is our man. And he takes no nonsense, just like Sheriff Wayne Ivey in Brevard County. Brevard County is where Cape Canaveral is, where the space shuttle is in Florida. He has no tolerance for animal abusers. Neither does Sheriff John Miles, and I met him personally. One of his deputies is walking on the property in this wooded area, and to the left is this Angela Belinda Powell, another fruitcake, delusional. She says, oh, this is their sanctuary. The dogs are eating each other alive, and you're saying this is your thing. You know, these people need to be put under the jail. So here's where we're at, and we've got all these fruitcakes that think that saving a dog, even if it sits on a crate 10 feet high among three other crates above, never see the sunlight, They think that's perfectly acceptable. These people are idiots, and they're hoarders, and they're sick in the head, and they need to be exposed. And caller, before you say anything else, Julia, I know you want to jump in here. I really admire you for calling because a lot of other people know what's going on. I've gotten emails, and I don't know who you are, but I applaud you, and I thank you, and you are one voice for the animals. Go ahead, Julia. I'm sorry, Julia. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no, it's okay. It's okay. We need those voices for the animals so badly. You know, they can't pick up the phone and call 911. They can't do it for themselves. You know, we have to be their eyes and their ears. But it's just also shameful because it's this is not what rescue was supposed to be about. You know, and it's just gotten ugly out there. We are facing a crisis. And it's a crisis for different reasons. I belong to a group called For All Paw's Sake. And, Darcy, you've seen the application that we use for membership to that group.
Excellent.
And it is very extensive. All references are checked. We have a screening team that goes through these applications. And, you know, more people are denied than accepted. And this is for the safety of the animals. Everybody in our network, from the transport drivers to the shelters that are sending to the rescues that are receiving, are vet checked. We vet everybody, everybody. It's important for the safety of the animals and for the safety of the community and the people we're serving. I applaud you also for speaking up and doing your research. It's so important that people use their brains and use their eyes. If you see something that looks fishy, it's fishy. I mean, I see so many people blow it off. Well, my gut was telling me, but, you know, I didn't think so. No, no. If your gut's telling you something, listen to it. Listen to it. These animals need you to listen to your gut.
Yes, definitely. It was a hard situation, though, because, you know, they were giving her chance after chance. And I don't necessarily, you know, blame the shelter, but I think that, you know, it was the officers really, you know, giving her chance after chance, the animal control officers.
That goes back to money again. They don't want to have to seize all those animals. They don't want to do it. I mean, their shelter's already full. They don't want to have to go in there and take all those animals and add to the...
I mean, our county shelter is a very, very, you know, they take in a lot of dogs. They don't have any other choice. And that is a huge case to have to take in. And, you know, all of the shelters right now in Florida are overflowing and as good of a job as they try, I think our economy is really affecting it. Our rental prices are through the roof and people are becoming homeless, and it's not something that they want to do, but they are surrendering their dogs. They have no other choice. And it's
the economy.
Shelter populations are crazy.
It does have a lot. It does have a lot to do with it. The deputies, let me go back to the article from Channel 2. The 32 dogs that were found on Kaylee's property in deplorable conditions at Orange County home, they determined that one was already dead. What bothers me, this was dated on July 13th, what bothers me is they were there, I know, around June 8th, okay? So a little over a month. How many of those dogs could have been saved? But instead of giving the lifeline to the animals, instead of giving the lifeline to the animals, they're giving an extended lifeline to the horrible animal abuser. You know, how many times are you going to give them that rope? You need to stop that and give that rope to these animals. Perfect example is getting back to the Georgia Department of Ag.
I think a lot of it has to do with is the laws. The laws are not backing, you know, the shelter. The laws are not backing animal control. They're not backing... You know, animals are considered property, you know, not a living, breathing being that feels and hurts. And, you know, we need better legislature for the animals, really.
Well,
and I
we
think
often
that
say that.
Is moving in the right direction, but it is county by county. So
it is county by
counties
county.
Are better. Yep.
And I'm going to share with you regarding Orange County Animal Services. They have what I believe is, you know, standard operating procedure. Most shelters should have that. That is required. And they need to follow protocol. I believe in this particular case, they did not follow protocol. I think they brushed it under the rug and heads better roll, because I think the police probably put their hands up in the air, aggravated, because they're getting the calls. And I'm looking at something right now that I'm not going to not say who sent it to me, but basically it is regarding Orange County Health Services Department, Animal Services Division, and their standard operating procedures. They failed these animals more than once, and they're going to try and cover it up, but we've got to be persistent. Just like, let me just back up regarding the Georgia Department of Ag. The rescue that Julie and I know about, just so you know, caller, there is a Facebook page. I've got another caller coming in right now. It just showed up. Okay, the caller can hear me, so bear with me, caller. If you go to Facebook and you put in Georgia Animal Rescue and Defense, the and being the symbol, so Georgia Animal Rescue and Defense, defense is spelled D-E-F. E-N-C-E, okay? Exposed. I'm going to repeat it again. Georgia Animal Rescue and Defense exposed. You will see a drone footage. You will see, scroll down the page, you will see an arrest of a last name of a guy named William Bacon. Oh, he looks like an upstanding citizen, not. This is what occurred back in February. Around February 23rd, Effingham County Sheriff deputies, I think one or two counties away, went into Bryan County, which is where GARD is located, G-A-R-D, acronym, and they were looking for a fugitive. They got on the property, a sergeant and two police officers, along with a sergeant and one police officer from Bryan County. So we've got five cops on the property. And what the one officer told me personally from Effingham, he looked around, he saw dogs living in deplorable conditions in crates. Joy Bohannon, who is a founder who goes all the way back to Vermont, learned from her mother probably, you know, 45 years ago, went from Vermont, went to New Jersey. They kicked her out. And then she settled where? In the rural area of Bryan County, Georgia, B-R-Y-A-N, near Savannah. This woman is a monster, and she has monsters working for her, ex-felons. So they go looking for this guy, and sure enough, they find not that fugitive, but the fugitive's brother. That's the picture you see on Facebook. They went now looking for the brother.
That's the handsome guy there. That's this guy here with the Effingham County crime.
Yep, that's who you're looking at. What did he look like, Julia?
Oh, he's just lovely. He's got garbage tattooed all over his neck, sores on his face, looks to be unwashed, and very, very shady. Very, very don't turn your back on him.
Mm-hmm. And if you read underneath that they had to take him to the hospital or give medical aid because he had some type of an open wound or something on his abdomen. I hope maybe the dogs bit him. Too bad they, you know, we'll leave it at that. So listen to me. So the officer tells me that they want to go.
Taxpayers paid for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks to the useless sheriff in Bryan County who's turning a blind eye and a deaf ear for years. So now they go to another trailer. Joy Bohannon, the rogue rescue that she is, can you imagine what those dogs are going through? Crated up, living a nightmare. And here's even better. In addition to that felon that they found, you scroll further down, she's got a guy that's been arrested for battery. So everybody that has adopted a dog from there will tell you each one of these poor little dogs who live out in the element have horrible social skills. And Joy Bohannon's famous line is, oh, we just got him from a puppy mill. No, Joy Bohannon, you're the puppy mill. You're the puppy mill.
Yeah.
Let's hold for a second and bring in caller. Area code 321, caller 321, welcome to the show.
Hi, Inspector Burke.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? I spoke to you earlier today. I just want to say great job.
Hi
all
there.
All the guests today, Scott, and the lady that called about Kyla. I think I know who she is, but Kyla's been on my radar for about 3 years when I first saw her setting up a GoFundMe to help a guy by the name of PJ get housing for him and his dog. Well, Kyla made sure she was the recipient of the $2,900, the GoFundMe, and she kept the money purchased a tattoo for herself. Nothing went for the dog.
The caller just mentioned that. Caller, that's the one that you're talking about, the homeless guy, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's it.
Yeah. And she tried. I live in Brevard County with the fabulous Sheriff Ivy. We had a pet page in Brevard County that has since been shut down, but Kyla was using it as her personal pet, you know, dog flipping page. And whenever we asked questions, of course, our comment was removed. Well, anyways, somebody purchased a dog from Kyla. Turned out the dog ended up having parvo, I believe, passed away because, of course, he was never vaccinated. Anyways, I did message the girl and told her to reach out to Sheriff Ivy, get the vet records and everything. And Sheriff Ivy, they pursued to see what was going on. And we reached out to several rescues in Brevard County and said, you can't look away. Because this affects you, too. You cannot look away. Just because it's not your dog doesn't mean it's not your problem. So everything is interrelated. Every time people say it's not my cat or it's not my dog, it is. Your taxes pay for that. Your law enforcement, animal services all go into overseeing these kinds of things. So everybody needs to speak up. You can't put your head in the sand.
It is because of you.
Because you don't like
pigs. It is because of you. Yeah, it is because of you. And I don't know if you want to say your name or not. Or make
up
a name.
They all hate me. They hate me. Stacy.
Okay. Stacy, I've known for years. I've never met her personally. And, yes, she is in Brevard County, which is, again, Cape Canaveral, Melbourne area. And it's because of you, Stacy. Years ago, I got Sheriff Ivy on my show. It's
correct.
Because of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always, you know, he's not everybody's favorite, but I've met with him personally on several occasions, and people don't like it that I've met with him. I said, well, he's the go-to guy, whether you like it. If you don't like the laws, then you can go to the county commissioners and change some laws about animals. You know what I mean? He's following the rules that have been set with him to run the animal services, which it was a million times better than it ever was before with the cruelty that was going on to animals before. But I appreciate what you do, Darcy, and all the callers that are calling in. And those that are even listening.
Thank you.
Everybody can do something. Everybody.
Yes.
And
yes.
What do they say?
You
see something, say something.
Yes, absolutely. And my little rescue
document.
Is based on something.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do everything, but you can do something. You know,
well,
and the lady I named
a
rescue after used to always say that. Yes, it does.
It takes a village.
It does.
And it's great to find out that whoever pursued Kyla, is it's now coming to fruition that she actually got arrested. It took a lot of people, and that one person, I think it is, she got a lot of heat, people trying to discredit her and also discredit you, Darcy, because you were calling, you know, because she is a fraud. There was nothing done on behalf to help those dogs. Nothing.
She's been arrested. Let's hope that they do a really good conviction. I mean, let's hope she gets convicted and gets a really good, harsh sentence this time, something that's really punitive. Does anyone know what happened to Polina Dorsey? She was supposed to be getting out of jail. She got 10 years, and that was in 2012.
Wow. That doesn't ring a bell. Where was she located?
She was in St. Lucie, Florida, St. Lucie County.
I'll have to look, because there's a couple of them that have infiltrated into Brevard County recently that I'm watching that have been bad news in other parts of Florida.
Yeah. Her name was Polina Dorsey. If you look her up, you'll find her. It was just a nightmare. A lot of people had a lot of faith in Polina, and she scammed them all.
It's
really
it's
horrible
disappointing.
Situation.
And all people do is have to ask for maybe, was it references, you know, ask other people, and you eventually find the truth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to great shows like Inspector Bark, The Bad and the Ugly of Pets, I mean, you find out who the bad people are.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad apples.
Oh, yeah.
And
we know
there's
lots of them infested.
People some tools. You know, I hope that we're giving people tools to help them flush out the bad apples. I hope they're learning from these podcasts what they can do.
Well, I've always
told
people, I said, you're welcome to document, take photos, keep screenshots of your conversations with these people, but also reach out to your local animal services, which many of them have, and they've gotten results. Call your local police department. I said, but it's your case, your issue with your animal. All I can do is give you some tidbits. I can have them listen to Darcy's show, reach out to Darcy, some investigators, you know, detectives. I said, but that's what you really, as unpleasant as it is being the meanie, it has to be done for the animals that can't speak on their behalf, like you said. You have
that's
to do
right.
it.
You do.
Yeah.
You
thank
absolutely
you.
Do.
Thank you. Oh,
and
stay,
the pig.
Stay on, stay on.
I'm glad the pig was rescued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
you guys
Annie,
enjoy
yes.
the rest
Annie.
Of the show. I'll be listening.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Stacey, thank
Stacey,
you.
Bye-bye.
There's another caller.
You're welcome, hon. Thanks,
bye.
Darcy. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Okay, you bet. There's another caller, but before I bring the caller on, you mentioned, Julia, you mentioned that there's now another pig on the property of Randy Skaggs. And a bull.
Yes. Yes.
So how did he get those animals?
He purchased them.
From who?
The pig was brought to brought to him supposedly by a board member, but we have learned that Randy has been watching Craigslist. He bought the sheep that he has. He bought the goats that he has. He purchased the puppy that he has. That puppy's only ever had one vaccine. I'm surprised it's not dead already. And he purchased the bull. You know, he's cruising Craigslist and he's buying animals.
So
and he's
as
buying
sick as
farm
this
animals
is,
because they have fewer protections.
They have what?
Fewer protections under the law. Farm animals have fewer protections, so that's why he's delving into farm animals. It's his new scam. He's working under a new DBA called Animals Yes, which is a stupid name. So he's working under this new DBA, and he's got a new little logo with all kinds of farm animals on it, and he's starting to collect animals again.
So we'll have to strategize. I want to talk to you because I think I've got a few ideas that I'd rather tell you off the air. But, you know, okay. We need other people in that community to open up their mouths and band together. Let's bring in area code 575, stand by 575, and it just takes a second to click over. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Inspector Bark and
Carla.
Oh, hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Okay, we're not talking Kayla, we're talking Carla.
Yes, my name is Carla, not Kayla. I do not own a rescue or pretend to have a rescue. Although the situation that we have been in since October has inspired my wife and I too. We are going to be eventually opening up a nonprofit rescue, but you know, we want the focus to be more on like the support of the fosters and the animals, and it being more about the, you know, like this particular animal and finding it a home versus like quantity of trying to save all of them, because that's, you know, impossible. That's later down the road. We are still, you know, recovering from our ordeal with Hope for Pets here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Let's talk about that and tell the listeners, go back if you will, and I'm just watching the time because we do have 25 minutes left. Pretty much in let's say 3-4 minutes or less, Carla, let's talk about how you and your wife got involved with the Rogue Rescue Hope for Pits. Go ahead.
So I was friends with the owner and founder, Emily, on Facebook, and had been following her and the journey. And she, you know, seemed genuine, seemed like a rescue starting out and little and again, just trying to save them all. And She made a post, and after a couple of days of making a post of this dog desperately needing a foster, it was a mom who had just had 12 babies, and they needed to be relocated. So we just, a long story short, we had the space, the time, so we said yes. That was October 5th. October 6th, the dogs were already in our home. It moved very quickly. Pretty much everything from there, just it went downhill, like all the things that were promised. We had zero support. Emily will argue and say that we did, but the support that we did have were from other people that she strategically uses to help her with different things, and then she takes the credit for it. So we raised the puppies. They were able to be adopted. They've all moved on. We adopted two. However, we had one left and the mom, because we were starting to see all the things that were going on with her and how things weren't adding up. When we started questioning that, she threatened legal. And then at that point, we're like, okay, game on. Get legal involved. Well, there is no legal. Legal is just one of her strategic moves on how she gets people to stop fighting back. She tries to bully. If that doesn't work, she uses online imitates them online. That doesn't work. And then she gets her followers to try. If that doesn't work, then she threatens as legal that she does not have. So it was a battle, thankfully, and that's actually why I was calling, because, you know, if it wasn't for Inspector Bark and Guard Dog USA, we probably would not be where we're at this stage with everything that's going on, and we just really appreciate you so much, because I know in the little bit of time that I personally was putting my voice and face out there, the amount of hate that I got, the amount of just, you know, like victim blaming, like I'm having to prove how I was, you know, how I was injured, how, like, what she's doing or not doing, instead of questioning her, and which when you look at it clearly, there are clearly, I mean, and it's more and more coming out, there are problems. Like, it's like, you know, it's way beyond us now. But thank you for being the catalyst, I feel like, and helping us, and then, you know, giving us the courage to keep on going, and then also giving the admins courage that stepped forward, that had even deeper personal info about how awful this woman is. You know, it's a trickle down effect. You know, like, you empowered us, and I hope that we empowered them, and I'm really hoping that this just empowers others to speak up.
Yes.
Stop saying, you know, I don't want to be in the drama, or, oh, it's just a new rescue, or, oh, well, yeah, that was weird, but, you know, like, question things. Like,
right.
Stop allowing the excuses. Yeah.
Yes.
Our society is like, we were taught to, we always follow the rules and instructions, and you never question things, even as a kid, and that's bull crap. Like, questioning things is a sign of intelligence. Like, you are,
right.
You know, you should always. So, you know, I wish there are so many people out here that they're like, they want to help the animals and they want to save the animals. But in doing so, they have to speak up and stop supporting these rogue rescues, these fake people. And, you know, I get it. There's so many animals that need our help, and it's never ending. But then when you deal with these individuals, these people that are taking advantage of the community, they're making it 100 times worse. Because I'll tell you, from our experience, we were first-time fosters. We had never fostered before, and this woman dropped off a feral mom who actually ran away. She was gone for 4.5 hours, and my wife and I are like, we had 9 5-day-old puppies that we're preparing to have to bottle feed. Never in my life dealt
Are
with this
kidding?
Before.
Are you kidding?
No,
I'm
not kidding.
Are you kidding? God.
It gets better. It gets better. My wife was leaving the next day to go out of town for a week and a half. So I was mentally preparing. I'm going to have to bottle feed these 9 puppies. What the F am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do? And so 4.5 hours later, they found the mom, thankfully. And I think that just that alone, everyone asked me how I got through like the 2 months I did. And I think it was because of that, because in my mind, I was already prepared for it to be so much worse that when she came back, I was like, thank God. But it was miserable because she was sick with parasites and all kinds of stuff. And one of Emily's trademarks is she does not vet any of the animals that she pulls from the street, which is also against her mission statement. The long story short, we ended up giving 12 puppies. We got the other three at 2 weeks old. So we had basically, 12 two-week-old puppies that we raised and had no experience. And, like I said, Emily would tell you she helped us, but no, she didn't. She relied on other people in different chats that she created, and they provided us the support, the credit for it, which is, again, another trademark thing that she does. But what's worst of all is we are not the only one. We are not the first, and we weren't even the last. This has been a pattern. It's ongoing. So many worse things have happened. People's dogs, their own personal dogs, have been killed now because she did not properly do like a behavioral assessment. Puppies have died from parvo because she allowed them to be exposed, used the same needles to inject them with things, and these dogs died. They literally died, and it was her fault. In my opinion, I must add, for legal reasons, but that is what happened. And people have been bit. Like, people have had to go to physical therapy, and she sweet talks them into like not acting on what they should be doing. She takes advantage of people. And then she's scaring people away. Because I'll tell you, I will never foster again. I will never foster for another person.
And see, that's sad to me. I have slowed down in rescue lately, and I don't have a lot of fosters. But when I do have fosters, they have food. They have access to vet care. If you have an emergency, you don't have to call me and see if it's okay to take them to the vet. Get in your car and go.
Yep.
Take them to the vet. I provide food. I provide medical care. I provide support. If it doesn't work out and I don't have space for them, by God, I'll board them if I have to, until I can find somewhere to put them. But I am not going to leave a foster in bad shape like that. I just don't know how people get away with it. I don't. How do they ever get anyone to foster?
By love bombing them, by being a narcissist and knowing what to see in certain people, like, knowing what this person can be, I can gain this from this person, I can intimidate this person by saying this. I really truly feel like when she met my wife and I, she didn't know what she was up against. And when she did her same song and dance and threatened legal with us, and we were like, all right, go right on ahead and contact that legal. we're expecting them.
They never win slap suits. None of them have ever won their little slap suits. So, it's like, go ahead, send me. You're not going to win.
Well, yeah, exactly. And especially when we had all the evidence of proof, and we, sent thousands on this dog and these fosters, and, she did reimburse us. She reimbursed us $930 compared to like $3,000. And if you're still counting, because for a while there, she was holding basically the two dogs we had left hostage. We had them. At first, we said, you need to come get these dogs, because the mom was destructive. We had a lot of problems with her. And she kept, like, we don't have a place for her. We don't have, basically refusing. And then we hit a point where we're like, No, she's not getting these dogs back, because she's clearly, this isn't right. So then it was like, well, we couldn't get anyone to help us because, it's a legal matter. Legal's handling it. And that was the most frustrating, is nobody would talk to us or help us. Animal control was worthless. Local rescues were worthless. And as a matter of fact, I picked the wrong local rescue to reach out to for help, because it turned out that they were her mentor. And so what did they do? Mm-hmm. They went back to her and told her everything that we said, and then helped, or as it seems to me, in my opinion, helped her to then go on like this campaign to basically make every single thing we said a lie. Is that enough?
So,
that
Carla, let me jump in here. Let me jump in here. It's Darcy, Inspector Bark, because I want to piggyback on what you're saying. These rogue rescues all, in my opinion, go off the same playbook. They bully, they intimidate, they threaten, because what they need to do is they're trying to silence you, they're trying to silence your wife, they're trying to silence me, Julia, and everybody else. You've got to fight fire with fire. I tell people this all the time. You have to have a backbone made of titanium, broad shoulders, in order to blow that whistle nice and loud. And you've got to do all this, and you got to fight the fight and not be intimidated. You know for a fact, Carla, that they try to discredit me and say, oh, well, look at who it is. Oh, okay. These people are bottom feeders, okay?
Yep. You mentioned in this episode they connect with each other, and I could not believe that when, like, after – or I think it was a conversation we had, actually. It wasn't on air, but you talked about how these people will actually seek out each other to try to then, like – and then that woman did. The woman our person that we're having an issue with sought out someone, you know, that was trying to, like, take you down. So they do. They, like – they try to network together to, like, take us down, like – just do the right thing, you know? Do the right thing.
Those who attempt to shame you fear you. Now, I don't want to go off course here, but I just opened up my email, and Carla, I responded to you, but let me go back to this latest incident here in Orange County, Florida. I'm not in Orange County, and if you hear screaming kids in the background, I'm up in my wooded area, and my neighbors have their grandchildren over. So can you hear that background noise?
No,
hear
it's a tiny bit. Not at all. Nothing frustrating.
Okay, because I'm muting myself when I'm not speaking. But I just received in my inbox from an informant, and they will stay protected, that sure enough, they impounded all these dogs on Kayla Lane Rivard, okay, in Orange County. They took those dogs, they confiscated them on July 13th, just a few days ago, and each one is listed, it's 63 pages, ladies, each one is listed as cruelty, 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 and then they've got a whole medical history, all of them, parasites, parvo, neglect, and I'm reading it as I'm getting it, so I can't go over every detail, but they've got each animal 63 pages. I can't even count how many dogs. I'm going to say around 30, 35, because that's what the news station said. Excuse me, 32 dogs. So I'm a mistake. 32 dogs found in deplorable conditions. We know that one had died, and hopefully these dogs that are now in the shelter being assessed are going to make it, okay? And now that evidence, as Julia mentioned earlier, they are going to now sit down, put everything together to build up a case and see how many animal cruelty charges they can stick to her. But it's sad because if they would have just done their job back when she only had maybe 5 or 7 animals and people were complaining, then maybe we wouldn't be at the state we are. 32 is a lot, but guess what? It's not as many as what we have down in Guard, Georgia. Animal Rescue Defense, because I'm guaranteeing you we've got over 150. And if they would have acted back
or
in 2019.
The case in Mississippi.
That's right, in the case of Mississippi. And I didn't even get to talk on that because we get subject matters, you know, being thrown at us and we stop for callers like yourself. So, you know, I appreciate all the callers. But the Mississippi Rescue, this was a best friends network called member, so a cult follower, in my opinion. Best Friends Network member, Second Paw Rescue, fails within 1 year of founding. And that is of being
again.
Found. Philadelphia,
yes.
Mississippi, gang.
No
Philadelphia,
kill crazy.
Mississippi. A no-kill crazy.
No kill gone wrong.
They starved these animals. What is wrong with these people? And Best Friends better wake the hell up because they, in my opinion, are the root of the problem.
Well,
we've got to get these organizations.
Best friends.
Wait one second. Best Bissell Foundation, we've got to get them alerted because they love the fact, Kathy Bissell, and I spoke to her years ago, they love the fact of clearing out the shelters. It's the worst thing you could do. They've got to open up their eyes, take their blinders off, and say, this no-kill is really slowly killing our animals. Go ahead, Julia.
It is. It is. I just wanted to say that Randy Skaggs has aligned himself with Best Friends many times. He's written posts about them. Best Friends had a blurb on their website years ago praising Randy. That it's not there anymore. I could probably go in the Internet Archives and find it. But, you know, Best Friends praised him years ago, propped him up, and then the outrage started, so they took the thing down. But Randy has held on to that, and he every now and then throws it out in his little mailer he sends out every month,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
yeah.
something about Best Friends, aligning himself with the work that Best Friends does. Again, you know, a lie. And it just...
Yep.
And with all their millions of dollars, they don't have a lawyer they can throw at Randy Skaggs and make him stop this?
Yeah. Yeah. They are nothing but, in my opinion, a cult. And they've got these
mm-hmm.
stupid followers that think this no-kill is so wonderful. Where are they sticking them all? Where are they? They're hoarding
yeah.
them. They're living in warehouses. They're living in single-wide trailers. These dogs are slowly dying a horrible death. These people need to
and
be
Facebook
ousted.
And Facebook is making it worse.
It is.
I don't mean to talk over you. It's a two-second delay. But, yeah, Facebook's making this worse, Dorothy. It really is.
And if I can add to that on the social media front, it's extremely frustrating when you have all of these lost and found, rehoming, like all these, you know, there's like thousands and thousands of these groups. And when you have on there people tagging these, we'll just call it rogue rescues, fake mm-hmm. people, and then you can't speak up. Like, if you know, like, you've had experience, you can't share that because they only want positivity on their page. Like, I had an entire post that I made anonymously when this first happened asking, hey, what are a foster's rights? What is a rescue supposed to do? Because we were clueless. And all the responses from these people, they literally were saying, this rescue is horrible. Whoever this rescue is, you should name them. So obviously I didn't name them. I was posted anonymously. But, like, I mean, there had to be, like, 20 or 30 responses from all these people that were like, this is bad, 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 bad. When I finally got the courage, like, my wife and I were like, okay, you know, if it comes to a lawsuit, we're ready. We're going to go ahead and put our face, our name to the words. As soon as I said who it was, the admins for that group immediately took my post down. And I wrote them and I asked, why did you do that? And that was her response to me. We're trying to promote positivity. And the same woman tags this rescue all the time and stuff. And so it's like these people like are networking and working together and just, again, helping perpetuate this problem.
Right. It's sad. And then you know what word I really despise is when they say, we don't want the drama on our page. You know what? You know what I say to them? You know what I say? Drama. Animals' lives are at risk. And you call it drama? You know, get yourself a backbone and fight. Help us fight the fight because we can get them out of the picture. But we need help and we need more voices to fight the fight.
Absolutely. Agree.
So with that, I've got less than – go ahead. Go ahead and say what you're going to say. Go ahead.
I was going to say I wish that more would have called in today regarding our situation. You know, I think, you know, we have like a support group where there are people that are joining and they're sharing stories and feeling more comfortable about coming out. And I really hope that at least like for those, like we can empower them more to speak out more public, you know, putting it on their page is a wonderful, but you know, publicly actually not being afraid to stand up. Or if you see them being tagged in one of these lost and found posts, say, no, this rescue, no, this is not the rescue that needs to be promoted to help this community. Like I just want people to be empowered to stand up and do something. And if they are too afraid, go through to do it themselves and go through like you know, you can do it anonymously. We even have with our situation, someone has created an amazing page that has been able to uncover so much more information than we ever could. And even that page.
Name the page. Name the page, Carla. Name the page.
Hope for Pitt, the Madness. You can share anonymously anything that you want to and get the word out, and it does, and then you don't even have to have your face or name attached to it, and you can still feel safe and still have helped. Because I'm sorry, but staying silent, you're complicit. You're enabling it, and no more. Like there's no more. If you continue to support these people when the evidence is there, you're just as guilty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There are people that say they're in rescue that support Randy Skaggs still. You know, every time I see them commenting on his post, it's like, uh-huh, yeah, real super rescuer you are. You know, why are they still friends with these people? Because they stick together.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. It's a shame. You know, I find there's a great meme, and it's a line of people, and they're blindfolded, and they've got their hands on the person in front of them, shoulder, okay, and they're all in a line. And it says something pertaining to follow the masses, and you see where they're following, and they're all blindfolded, and they're going to be falling off a cliff, right? And I love it. I should post the meme on my Inspector Bark page, and I'm walking back into the house holding my computer because it's starting to rain a little bit. And it says something to the fact, like, follow the masses, and something to the fact, the M, you'll end up being an ass. So these people can't think for themselves. They don't do their own due diligence, okay? And they end up being an ass. And there's something that's happening right now in South Florida near Miami that all these people are jumping on the bandwagon, and I'm looking at some of their names, and they're these closet cat hoarders that are clueless. And a lot of these people are not educated, you know. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry, we've often said, can get a nonprofit IRS status. They've learned. They learn from each other, okay? And then the general public being gullible, and the scamming industry in the country is in the multi-billions. We see it all the time. And they just run with it because they know it's so easy to just scam the public. We've got to call them out. I like when the bottom feeders want to talk about me and try to discredit me. That's telling me I'm doing my job, a job I don't get paid for, mind you. We need organizations. And, Julia, I want you to take maybe a minute less if you can. It's 2 minutes and 25 minutes left before we go off the air. I want you to tell me, without naming what – the organization is, but you and a committee have started teaming up with something. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, we're working with a national group to help them better help the people that want to help animals. So far, it's been pretty positive. We feel good about where it's going. I think in the long run, it's going to benefit, you know, a lot. It's going to benefit animals. It's going to benefit this organization. It's going to benefit donors. It's a opportunity to educate. Let's call it that.
Excellent.
I love that.
Excellent. And we don't want, yes, and we don't want to reveal the, I got 90 seconds. It just buzzed in my ear. We don't want to reveal that organization, but I know that you're doing a great job, Julia, spearheading that. And it's all a matter of bringing awareness and education, because some of these people, you know, they want to believe in good. They want to think that rescues walk on water and they're saving these animals. And sometimes I come in and I say, listen, I sound like Darcy Downer, but this is the truth. This is the truth. There's, and I got 60 seconds left. There's another great page that we don't want to forget. It's a group, and don't forget, because they'll submit stuff as well, Scam Rescues, and then semicolon, Animal Advocacy Community Forum. That head admin, Joanne Euler out of Ohio, does a great job. Her co-admin is Sunday Garcia, an ex-retired police officer. I really love for her to come on the show. Maybe she'll come on next time. But ladies and gentlemen and all those that are listening, I've got 25 seconds left, so I'm going to close here. Thank you, caller anonymous. Thank you, Carla. thank your wife for keeping up the fight. I'm here for you. I know you guys are really spearheading the hope for pets. Stop the madness. Keep it up. If you need me, I'm here. Julia, as always, thank you so much. Facebook page, Stop the Trixie Foundation. Please go ahead and follow these pages. Thanks, everybody. And that is
thank
the
you.
End of the show. Okay. Thank you, everybody. All right. Two
thank
hours
you.
Just flew
bye.
By. Bye. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.